Hello guys, welcome back to another episode, and one that you are going to absolutely love if you are someone who has children, maybe you're expecting or you have new babies, or to be honest, I actually found it really enjoyable and hilarious to record this episode, and I have no children yet, but hopefully one day soon. So this episode is with my good friend Alex, who runs Alexandra Tea Leaf online. She is an ex-Norland nanny, so she's been a nanny to the rich and famous, and she now has a gorgeous little boy called Harry, who's 10 months old, and she shares her wisdom online with the world. So her entire platform is dedicated to sharing advice and knowledge and all things motherhood and just a really exciting, joyful life. And that's one of the things I love most about her, is the fact that her entire life online is just very achievable, relatable, and it's just beautifully edited to look the most gorgeous and divine ever, and her little boy is just so scrummy. So I highly recommend checking out her socials. But in this episode, we talked a lot about how she refound herself after having a baby, how your body changes, and all the good stuff about, you know, finding your mum friends and how to go about navigating the life of new motherhood and pregnancy. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, then keep listening. I am aware that some people will find this episode a little bit triggering, so if you find it difficult to listen to topics relating to motherhood or pregnancy, then maybe best to click off and listen to a different episode. However, if you want a good laugh and to listen to some funny, lighthearted advice, then I recommend to keep listening. But enjoy the episode, guys. Let's get on with the show. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of the Good Vibes Club, and one that's slightly different to anything we've done before, because we're going to be talking a little bit about motherhood, which, as we all know, is very far out of my comfort zone because I'm obviously not a mother and I know nothing about the subject. But I have the lovely Alex with me, who does know a little bit about it. So we're going to have a little chat about, well, actually let me let you introduce yourself and then we can get into what this whole episode is going to be about. So do you want to tell everyone about you and all the fun things, because I feel like you're a very well-rounded person online. There's a lot of little pies and things.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say so. Fingers on all the pies.
Fingers on all the pies.
So I'm Alex, and yeah, I do social media now, and I have a little boy who is 10 months old, which is kind of crazy because, yo, that year flies. But I'm also a Norland nanny. I trained in Bath about, 10, 12 years ago. I don't know. I'm not very good at maths. But a long time ago. And I have a BA in early years childhood development. And I have a Norland diploma, which is kind of crazy. So I think I've got a bit of clout behind what I'm talking about. Not just winging it, which I think is quite funny, because you think so much of motherhood, people really think that it is all about winging it. And I'm like, well, for me, it's quite by the book.
But I guess you're used to it, because like, where you've been a nanny and you've been told like, this is how you have to do things, this is how a child needs to be in this. So in your head, it's almost like subconscious, you're like, okay, I need to do it like this because that's what I've been told.
Yeah, it's like a layer of guilt that I wasn't really expecting. It's kind of like a bit of a double-edged sword. Like, yes, I know what I'm doing, but if I don't do it, I feel guilty for not doing it.
And you have some flipping great stories. We actually were going to record last week and ended up just chatting for like 2 hours, and you were giving me all the stories, and honestly, some of these nannying stories were so good. I even repeated the Welly Boots one to James because I was like, I need to tell you, because it's the funniest thing. I was like, children are hilarious.
They're wild, and they just get better with age, kind of like a fine wine, if you ask me.
Now, I don't know about you, but obviously being online, I feel like, obviously, your social media used to very much be like the princess dresses and like the fancy restaurants and like very, I would say almost like, how would you describe what you used to do? It was almost like the fairy tale kind of vibe, wasn't it?
I think I would have described it as like an attempt, because it wasn't fine art, but it was an attempt at like fine art photography, yeah, mixed with like escapism. I always wanted to be a photographer, like forever. And then I went to art school in Bath, and all the like people would come in and be like, oh, I'm volunteering my services. I was like, do any of these people earn money? Like, I'm not sure I'm feeling this. So I changed my vocation and I applied to Norland and got in. And that's why we're here.
And you also are a photographer as well, right? You do photography stuff.
Yeah, so I do love photography. I think it does still give you that nice escapism. But again, I want to earn real money.
And it makes your content nicer.
It does, doesn't it? There was a bit of a lapse when I had the baby. I was like, I can't even be bothered to find the camera charger, let alone take the pictures, because your priorities just change a bit.
How did you find like the transition between like being online and being like one way, but then having your offline life as like nannying and children and all these things? And then suddenly you're like, okay, well, now I'm not a nanny anymore. Now I've got a child and I'm online. Because you've obviously transitioned a lot over to like what I would say is more kind of like realistic motherhood, but also a little bit of like educational stuff. Because like we were saying before, there's so much online where it's like everyone was heavily aesthetic motherhood and it was like, look how beautiful everything is. And like, I'm a mum and I can bake all these amazing cakes every day. Then it went to being like, motherhood is hell. Don't have children. It's really shit. This is what's going to happen to you. And now there's like that weird middle ground where it's like everyone's trying to find their feet into like how to do it.
Yeah, I think I way prefer it now to either of the other two options because I think it is more normalized. But I think for me, I always knew that when I had my own children, I definitely didn't want to go back to nannying because that usually means giving up my baby to someone else for me to go and look after someone else's child. And that just doesn't seem like a logical thing to do for me personally. When I've also always wanted to have children, like I literally feel so cool that I am a mum. Like I love it. Like, probably not a very cool thing in reality, but I'm like, you did it, like, well done, you like achieved your life goal.
No, but that's good. That's a nice
I literally love it, and he does, like, he makes me laugh and I feel quite fulfilled from it. But I think where I was online for so long like doing different things, it was always very like prevalent to me that I had to safeguard the children that I was looking after. And I was working in central London. I lived on the King's Road and I worked on the King's Road in Chelsea. So if people were like, oh, there's Alex, and expecting to see me with children, even though they followed me for like the aesthetic pretty princess stuff I used to do, it would then be a risk to the children I was looking after. So I really had to be very conscious that I never spoke about it. And I remember the day that I went and took photos. I went and took photos like 12 weeks pregnant on the steps of St. Paul's dressed as Mary Poppins to put it on my Instagram to be like, I've never actually spoken about my career, but I'm an all-in nanny. I tell you, Jess, I was clearly changing my body shape at that time because I was trying to squeeze into this top and like my boobs were enormous. My rib cage was like starting to flare out and my friend was like, breathe in. I was like, I am breathing in.
I'm trying.
I literally can't fit into this outfit. And she's like, you're going to be dressed all unholy on the steps of St. Church.
Mary Poppins, but with a button thing.
With Mary Poppins.
That's such a cute, and like, that wasn't how you announced Harry, was it?
No, that's not how I announced Harry. That's how I announced like my career, so that I could slowly transition, because you have to be careful when you've like built a fan base in a way that know you for one thing and then you like hardcore switch to something so not related. I was like, wow.
I think that's quite natural. Like when you, because I think online, as much as we can have like a niche, I feel like naturally as you grow up, like you change. If you think we've been online, both of us, so flipping long. So like, even if you look back 5 years ago or like 10 years ago or whatever, the change in content is so dramatic because we've grown up and changed as people. Like inevitably mine will probably have to change at some point. Like we talked about the other day, it'll be like suddenly like this bump in my pictures. I plan to like fully do as much content as possible pre-bump so that I never really have to share it. But like, it is natural that you just change. But did you, like, when you said that you were an all-in nanny, you'd already kind of agreed that you weren't going to do it anymore, right? Like, you were phasing it off at that point.
Oh, I'm done. Like, I'm
done. You were finished when you announced it.
Yeah, I actively left my job when I was pregnant. I hadn't even told my employers that I was pregnant. In fact, they found out because someone told them when they saw my photography online. Oh. Like, Yeah, I was like, that probably wasn't your news to share, but no problem. And anyway,
save me a job.
No problems. I guess that's gone. I worked in a really challenging job, like really challenging, and the expectation was one greater than perhaps the pay packet should have been, and I resented that, and I think that in my mind made me not enjoy going in. And I think when you're in a negative space, then being pregnant or actively trying to get pregnant, you've got to like really put your mental health first. And I just didn't think it was worth what I was doing. And I was like, no, I've built this online platform with the intent to shift. Like, even if we have to take a pay cut and like live more frugally for a few months, even a year, whatever, I'm going to make this work. And here we are now, having made it work. And I have no intention of ever going back to nanny any children ever again.
It's so good though, because at least you've now like got the stories, you know, like you've done it, you did it, you passed everything. You've been arguably one of like the coolest versions of being a nanny, because I feel like everyone like loves to know about Norland nannies, right? Like everyone's so intrigued. Oh, yeah. Because they're like the nannies of the rich and famous. If you didn't know what a Norland nanny is, just that's what they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but we're also, I mean, I might say things on here that I don't even know if I'm allowed to say, but I think once you say it, it's out there, right? Like, stop. When we were in college, we were told, like, because social media didn't really exist then, like not to the magnitude it does now. Like now I think they're actually encouraged to have it and like build portfolios and stuff, and if they aren't, then they do. Like I see them, a lot of them follow me. And but we were told then, like, no social media, like take yourselves off. Like it was really taboo to have one. So I have one, and I have had one the whole way through it, and I built my platform whilst nannying, which definitely caused some controversy with jobs, because they would find my account and then be like, we don't want her, she's not taking it seriously, which is each to their own, I guess. But I think that I had one family would say to me, like, we don't want our children on your social media. And I was like, I don't want your children on my social media either. So I think that's fine. Like, respectfully, my account isn't about your child.
I'm planning to make them front and center. They're going to make me money.
Oh, God. So I was like,
them out a bit.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think they're going to fit my strawberry dress, but that's fine.
Did you, like, obviously being a nanny, you've looked after other people's kids, right? Did you find the transition into motherhood easier or harder than you expected? Because you already knew how to look after kids. So how did you find it when you then transitioned into being a mum from being a nanny?
So obnoxiously, yeah, I did find part of it really easy. Like, I already know how to burp a baby. I knew I wanted to formula feed. I'm quite knowledgeable with formula feeding, even though there's zero support out there for women. Like, they're not legally allowed to talk about it because it's not funded it's just crazy. But the other part that I massively didn't appreciate was, one, I'm not going to get paid to look after this one. Two, no one's taking him away at 7 o'clock at night, and I do not get weekends off. But that means, like, the balance was so, so different to anything I was ever used to, because yes, I've worked like round the clock, but I would always be like, okay, one more week to go, like, you can do this, but not with your own child. And also, my whole image changed. And that was something I wasn't familiar with. I was used to being young, happy, healthy, fit. I fit in like certain clothes, and then all of a sudden I wasn't fit. I had quite a horrific birth. I ended up in a C-section, and then there's all the healing of the C-section, and you're tired because you've got this little thing who wants feeding in the night, and you're like, okay, when am I clocking off here? Like, this is very different to what I'm used to.
So I guess you kind of knew like how to do it, but then you add in like the pain and the healing and like having him 24/7, and it's like, oh my God, shit. And you had quite like, we've spoken about this before, but you had kind of almost like a loss of identity as well, didn't you? Where you were like, I actually don't know what suits me anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. Like what?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was insane, because like, I'm allowed to talk about this here. Like, I had a boob job, like what? 4 years ago, so I don't know how long ago it was. So I went from like having this little frame that was like a size 8, size 10, like very flat chested. And then I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to have breast augmentation. So then I all of a sudden was like a little frame with these big boobs. And then I got pregnant and then I had this big bump and these even bigger boobs and these wider hips. And I was like, in the course of like 4 or 5 years, my body has gone from one thing to something so completely different. And I have no clue how to dress it at all. And then I would look online and I was still following like the likes of yourself who hasn't had a baby and all these other people that I genuinely love following. I love what they post and how they post it, but I didn't identify with them anymore because everything was different. Like everything, even my toes look different.
Even like a boob job alone is so dramatic on your body. Like friends of mine who have just had boobs but no kids always say like that tiny little change, like just having a bit bigger boobs, you're like, well, now tops look different, now like dresses fit different, now I can't show cleavage in the same way because it's suddenly cleavage and you've got all these different things. So it must be quite hard, right? And then you've got the whole thing of like, can you wear the same thing? Like I spoke to someone before and she was saying how when she became a mum, she almost felt like some of her outfits were like too cool to be worn by a mum. And she was like, oh, I don't want to wear like a little denim skirt or something because now I'm going to be judged because I'm a mum wearing a little denim skirt. Or like, I don't want to wear a bikini that's a bit revealing because like I'm a mum now. Are people going to judge me more for like wearing this revealing bikini? But also, am I confident enough to wear this revealing bikini? And then you're just like, oh.
Yeah, it's crazy though, because I think as women, if I saw a mum pushing a pushchair in a tiny denim skirt up a hill, I'd be like, babe, like go you, but like, are you okay? Like, is that like, are you okay? Because like, do you have enough movement in that? Like, I want a pair of leggings that are going to hold everything in. But I respect it. Like if you see it, I went on holiday when Harry was 5 months old and there was another mother there who was, she told me she was a fitness model and you could tell she had a 3-month-old baby. The girl was in the most impeccable shape and she rocked it. Like she had this little teeny bikini on. She had a 3-month-old baby. Her boobs were fantastic. And I was sat under my parasol being very white and pasty, hiding from the sun. Like, wow, she looks amazing. But like own it. Like if you've got it, own it. But it's the confidence within ourselves that changes. Like other people don't notice your imperfections or the bits that you're worried about. Just go with it.
Do you feel like the way that you're confident has changed?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel a bit more like sure of yourself and like sure of who you are and sure of your body now? Even though you have like the little hang ups with stuff, do you feel a bit more like, I know, like I'm good?
Yeah. And true? I think why I'm so extroverted and I'm quite sure in myself that you can almost fake the confidence if you are lacking some, if you put your best foot forward. And I do think like investing in pieces, like I've got this really nice cardigan on now. Like I did buy it an extra large so that it would be comfy and cozy, but I've bought a staple piece that I feel really confident in and I'm back in my pre-pregnancy jeans. So like go you. Yes, my body's changed, but it's changed shape. It doesn't mean that I'm any less of a person for it having changed shape.
It's just like learning how to wear things differently.
Totally. It's confidence. And I think we literally just spoke before we started this about having to buy basics every year. And I felt like I really have to buy basics every year. And you don't agree with that. You've been wearing the same basics for years. And I was like, but Jess, my body has changed a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. I've had to buy basics.
But I think it's like we were saying, your style changes and like you do naturally, like in life, your style just changes as you change what's around you. Like my style from 5 years ago hasn't changed dramatically because it hasn't needed to. Like I'm still the same size. I still have the same life pretty much. Like when I have a kid, I'll probably change my style because I'll be like, well, now I don't really want to wear the same things or they don't fit or whatever. Like I'm very aware that I'm probably going to have to change all of my lovely jeans that I've invested all my money in and all of these things.
I think you're, the way you dress is very inspirational for so many people because it's adaptable. And you can, okay, well, you might wear it with a crop top, but I'm not cropping anything. Like I'm going full length and full sleeves, but I can still wear the same color palette and I can still have the blazer. You also have a very healthy lifestyle. You work out a lot. You look after your wellness. And that is so much something I want to focus on so much the next time I have a baby, because I ate way too much apple crumble and custard and I did not move enough in my pregnancy. Dream. It was delicious.
Apple crumble is such a weakness.
It's my only sweet treat craving. Otherwise, give me all the cheese and crisps, but like apple crumble and custard. Holy cow.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. So when you say about wellness, so how did you, after Harry, did you hit a point where you were like, okay, enough is enough. Like I need to start focusing on me a bit here.
Yeah.
Because I think after you have that first baby, everyone always says, like, obviously I don't really know this, I haven't had a baby, but everyone always says that you kind of go through a stage where you're like, wow, my life has completely changed. Like, what's going on? I don't know who I am or what's going on anymore. Like, wow. And you kind of have to hit that point, don't you? Or like you have a transition. So how did you like transition from being like, okay, I really need to sort this out? Like, did you have a moment where you're like, enough is enough? Or were you just slowly like making little changes that then led you to like now where you're so happy and glowy and like things are good again?
Well, thank you. Firstly, that's very kind of you. What a lovely thing to say to somebody who's slightly sweaty.
You are not slightly sweaty. You're glowing.
I'm quite warm, darling. It's very thick cardigan.
And you sat like in the sun as well.
Basking in it. I live in Devon now. It's like a constant holiday, even though there is a big black cloud looming, but we'll be okay. I think I underestimated, one, what changes had happened to my body. And where I was confident in how to look after Harry, and I definitely whipped my husband into shape. I was like, this time, this, and like, it's great, it's worked. And I remember at about 5 to 6 weeks postpartum, I booked tickets to the Peaky Blinders immersive experience in Camden, and which is closed, unfortunately. I'm not promoting that here. It was a wonderful show and they really encouraged you to get dressed up, and I managed to get tickets. It was like their penultimate closing show, and I said to my friend, I was like, we're gonna go, like, super cool, like, we can't wait. We knew like a lot of the cast and they knew we were coming, and I was like, this is my first night out since having had Harry, and like I'm able to have a drink. And I put on this sparkly like 1920s like flapper style dress that I've had forever, and it was like a very generous size 10 from Unique Vintage, so like really all about like curvaceous and everything. Jess, I put it on and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, babe, you look like a sparkly spud. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, you can't wear that, like, that is literally what a jacket potato would look like had it been like bejazzled or something. It was not the vibe we were going for. And I think that was the moment when I went to that show and I still had like stitches. I could feel myself jumping up and down because they're encouraging you to dance. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've just had a C-section. I probably shouldn't be doing this. So I was like, wow, your body has changed so much. And I think that I came home that evening and I looked at the dress and it was like on the floor. I ended up going and just like, a shirt probably, like, because nothing, I didn't realize how much my body had changed. And I thought like 5 weeks, it all should have gone down by now, you know, like, yeah. 6 week check, doctor says you're good to go. And I think it was like that moment really made me go, like, you have changed a lot, and I think you have a really long road ahead of you until you start to feel like yourself again. But I do feel like myself now, and I'm starting to, like, you know, feel better. But of course now I want to have another baby, so it's a vicious cycle.
So now you're like, I've got to myself again, but then I'm gonna be pregnant again, then we're back. But then you know how to make the little changes and what to do. Obviously it is a bit of a whirlwind at the time, and no one can prepare themselves for that situation ever, but like you can be a bit more wary. But how did you kind of start making the changes? Like, how did you start to be like, okay, like, did you go through your wardrobe and think, right, let me like clear things out, let me like start to realize what I do and don't like here, what does and doesn't fit?
Oh,
or like
definitely.
Even finding things that you enjoyed, because obviously you still did things you enjoyed, like the Peaky Blinders and stuff, and I feel like you do still do a lot of these kind of things that are really fun, as well as having Harry and doing fun things with him too.
I really try to. I was like, I'll be damned if I'm gonna lose exactly who I am to having a baby. Like, next week I'm in London and I'm staying at a friend's house and we're going out for champagne, and my mum is looking after Harry in the day and Hugh has him overnight, and that's what I wanted. It should be a balance. Like, he is our child. But yeah, I really tried to build that back in. Regarding my wardrobe, it was a heat wave when we had Harry.
Oh God.
Oh my Lord. Like, I could feel my boobs on my belly. It was horrible. Like, absolutely horrible. I don't know if we're allowed to say that here, but I'm being very open. I actually saw a photo of myself in a pair of questionable pair of skin-coloured cycle shorts and a white shirt at a festival with Harry in a baby carrier on me. And I know that I felt really confident in the at the time and like what I was wearing. I was comfy. They were maternity shorts, so they were really comfortable on my C-section incision, which was really numb for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I was like, gosh, you don't look like you in that picture. Like, you're still very puffy and big. And that's great, because I felt so confident at the time, even though I had made the changes by like taking out of like shirts and everything. But I think on the reflection, like, you can see that I don't look like myself. And I think that's so interesting that in just what I think it was 6 months that I've made such a big difference. I felt great at the time. I was really confident then. And I had my Nike blazers on. I felt cool. I felt confident. And I think that's great that I can say I felt really good at that time. But even now, to look and see how far I've come in just a short space of time, it's a mindset thing, isn't it? It doesn't really matter what you look like. It's how you feel. But yeah, the heat wave was hard, because I really just wanted to hide in like big baggy clothes. And I couldn't, because it was literally like 35 degrees. No, it was outrageously hot. I was very, very welcoming of winter when it came round, because I was able to kind of pop on the big knits and everything. But I've started working out, and I'm working like really hard on having a high protein diet. And I see such a difference. Like, my skin is visibly healthier. It's not that I look different, because I don't see any difference in my progress pictures, but my skin is healthier. My nails are stronger. My hair is thicker. And it's also stopped shedding, because holy hell, the amount of hair I lost having had a baby was disgusting. I would leave the hair balls like screwed up on my husband's pillow.
Oh my God. I bet he was like, thanks.
He actually finds them really disgusting. Like, he actually like retches when he sees them. So I like purposefully like leave them places where he's gonna like react. Nice, isn't it?
The hair loss is a lot though, isn't it? Like, that's like a big bit that no one realizes, just how much hair you lose.
It comes out in handfuls. Like, and I lose hair anyway. Like, I have a lot of hair, but I would, in the shower, you know, when you like put your conditioner in and you do that, it would like, you know, you pull your fingers to the end of your hair, it would just keep on coming. And we had white walls in our bathroom of our old flat. And I can't put this down the plug. It's going to block the drain. It literally looked like a murder scene. It was horrific. It was just hair everywhere.
Barbers.
Yeah, it was. It's like Sweeney Todd had got his hands on it. It was just shocking. Absolutely shocking.
But that's quite like, I feel like when you hear people say like, oh, pregnancy gave me the best hair ever. And it's like, pregnancy gives you great hair, and then it strips it all away the minute the baby's out. And it's like, nope, not having that for much longer.
Yeah, it's crazy. I literally said to my friend who, she's like half Indian, so she has the most incredible hair. And I said to her, I was like, oh, for once, I feel like being pregnant. I was like 7-8 months pregnant. I was like, I can compete with you on the hair. Look how thick and glossy it is. We were standing with another friend who's a hairdresser, and she was like, just wait till the baby's out, babe. That shedding process has already started. I was like, oh no, because it's hormones. It's estrogen. So obviously your estrogen peaks and everything in pregnancy. And then when it drops, it's... I've got horns. I have actual horns where it's all the
like
regrowth.
Postpartum hair, oh gosh, around the front that everyone has.
Very scary.
It reminds me of, you know, when you're a kid and like your mum would put your hair up in school, and by the end of the day it would be like everywhere. Like, I used to get my hair slicked back for school, and I'd come home with like this lion's mane just like sticking out everywhere. That's what it reminds me of when people have, you know, when people tie it up and it's like
yeah, why do you think I have it down? It's just trying to hide anything I can. It's just,
at least slick back hair is a trend though, so you can
Yeah, I have a slick stick in my drawer here. I'm like, get back, please.
Industrial strength gel.
Yeah. Hugh, give me some of that poly filler. Like,
so going going back to the wellness thing. So how would you, so if you had, say there's someone listening, right, who's like had a baby recently and they're like, oh, I just feel really out of it. Like, I don't know what to do. What would your like tips for like just getting back to you and like feeling better in yourself? Obviously you've said like getting on the healthy eating, even though you don't want to, like just making more of like a conscious effort to try and make healthier choices, which granted is quite hard sometimes to make like fresh meals and stuff. But what kind of things would you say would be your like, let's say like top three
points? I think the most important one, the most important one is getting outside for a walk. Even if at the beginning it's 2 minutes, put your baby in that lovely pushchair that you have spent hundreds of pounds on. A fortune. Those things are astronomically priced. Put it in the pushchair. Ideally, go out first thing in the morning, because if you expose yourself out first thing in the morning, you've got the vitamin D, you've got all the fresh air, you're going to feel so much better and you've actually accomplished something. And then the rest of your day can form around your walk. When I'm helping clients in my consultancy and they're asking for a routine, so many sleep trainers will be like, all naps in cots. And I don't promote that. I actually promote that your first nap of the day should be in the pram. Put the baby in, whether it's freezing cold and raining. Like, if you don't want to go outside because it's raining, fine. But I do still go out and I put the cover on and we go for a walk. My walk at the moment is, I don't know, I average like 8,000 steps just on my first morning walk a day. It's a big loop. You don't have to go that far, but that to me was what started breaking the mold of like, I can't get out of the house.
Yeah.
Because even somebody who knows what they're doing, I still found that really difficult to actually get out of the house. But that would be number one.
And I guess fresh air is so good as well.
And the babies get tired in it. They sleep. And it helps them like learn day from night as well. And there's lots of positives to a baby and mom going out for that first morning nap and getting some steps in. Even if you literally walk to your local coffee shop, you get yourself your favorite coffee and you walk home. If that's all you do and the rest of the day you stay inside and you're trying to figure out this little person, that is like crucial to a day out, like it just, or a day in with your baby, like do have that time outside. And secondly, I think, in fact, I can plug you here, get yourself a big Good Vibes water bottle. Like those things, yes, they are absolutely the easiest way of getting all your hydration in. If you're breastfeeding, you need lots of water. Don't be faffing around with a small little cup. Get a big bottle of water. Take it with you. Have the handle. It's so easy. So buy Jess's cups. They're fantastic. And they keep the water cold.
Show notes.
But one of those, so a big walk, a water bottle, and prepping your breakfast the night before. It doesn't need to be anything fancy. Shove some oats in a bowl, pour water over the top, and have some frozen berries mixed in and shove it in the fridge. It's done. The oats are going to help you with your milk supply. You then are full for until lunchtime and you have had breakfast. It is so easy to not look after yourself when you have this baby who's like, I still need feeding. And you're like, hun, so do I. Like, I can't look after you unless I feed. So definitely pre-make yourself breakfast. If nothing else, because you can order everything else if you're on takeaway or whatever, like you can do that. Make yourself breakfast. It's such a simple thing.
And I guess as well, it's like just doing things like oats is a really easy, healthy breakfast rather than just like grabbing a slice of toast or like just grabbing a little like cereal bar or something like that. Little tiny thing, like I find oats tedious sometimes because I think they're quite repetitive. But if you literally just get your oats and like you said, just chuck your water and chuck it in the microwave, put on some golden syrup or whatever it is, and it's just a really quick healthier option. And then things like getting out for the walk, I guess, is also good for you. Like drinking water is good for you, so like they're not just things that necessarily help a baby sleep. Like that walk is actually so good for your health, because getting out in nature is like one of the best things ever. Like I always try and get out for a walk in the middle of the day. Haven't today, I'll be honest, but I always try and get out for like a midday walk, because I think when you're cooped up inside, even without a child, it drives me stir crazy sometimes to like not see or talk to anyone else. Like it just makes you feel like you're going mad. Your world feels like a tiny little box.
Yeah. And then you just get like a cabin fever. And then imagine adding that to this new person that you apparently are meant to like love unconditionally that isn't sleeping, and you don't know them, you're strangers to each other. And then you're like, okay, but like, how are you producing so much laundry? And I only just changed your nappy. And when am I meant to have breakfast? Now I stink. When did I last have a shower? I'm like, oh my God, my hair is falling out. Like all these things. Go for a walk. It really will make everything so much better. And don't forget to drink your water. Otherwise, you're just going to shrivel up. Like, you're just going to feel so crappy and your head's going to hurt and you're just going to look like a little prune sitting in the corner of your window like, ah, I haven't eaten or slept or drank water in days.
Sat there crying into the little sippy cup.
Yeah. I wonder why I feel so shit. Oh, I'm leaking everywhere. Like, I'm crying. And you cry so much. Oh, my God. Those first few days, nobody tells you how much you cry. They all talk about the baby blues. No, the tears. And somehow you've got to replenish that water. Like you've got to be able to put that back in your body. Like, I swear to God, I cried for like 2 weeks. I don't know why.
But isn't it nuts how like, even online, I feel like I follow so many people who, like you, I've followed pre-babies and now everyone's having babies. So half of my Instagram feed and like TikTok and stuff is people with babies. Like, I just have so many babies. Like, I swear to God, it became a game with me and my friend to get through a week without someone announcing a pregnancy on our timeline, because everyone is currently pregnant or with a new baby. But I do think it's so interesting how even the people who are like very quote unquote like real mothers online who show like everything, which to be honest is mainly just the bad parts, but no one ever really talks about things like how bad those first couple of weeks are. Like, I would say I feel like now people talk about it more. So we're probably more prepped for those things than like our mothers were, because I think my mum probably had me and was like, what the fuck do I do with this thing? Whereas now we're like, oh, well, we kind of know a little bit more. Whereas back then it was so glamorized and it was like, oh, you know, Diana had a cute little baby and she was on the steps with her full face of makeup, so you can do it too.
Yeah. And I think you're right. You go online and you see the people that are an advocate for all things beautiful and they literally make everything from scratch. And I'm talking like everything, like cereal from scratch. Yeah, I'm not making you cereal from scratch. You can have Cheerios. You're fine. But I also, then there's also the people that really are a platform for people who are struggling and perhaps don't find it as easy as others make out that it should be. And I think that's great that we have the balance, and you certainly find your people online. But I think it needs to be a balance. And I like following well-rounded, like the girl next door mothers. Like, that's what I like. I want to know, oh, you had a really good day today. Great. You got to go to the farm and you had so much fun and your baby did sleep and they did eat. And oh, now today it's all gone to shit and no one's left the house and you've got poo on your carpet and everything is not going so great, but you're open about it. And I think that's the way, like, yes, okay, we have routine in our house, but that doesn't necessarily mean the routine always goes to plan. It sometimes
is. You can't control a tiny human. They have their own brain.
They do. Just make you can put them in a routine and that becomes habitual and it's really, they then get used to waking and they get used to feeding at that time and that's great. But if they are teething, if they catch their fingers in a drawer as they start trying to like pull themselves up, you're done for. That's it, done.
Yeah. Like, countdown of the century.
Yeah, you're out. Done.
Obviously, so you do your like coaching and stuff, which we've kind of briefly touched on, but I feel like we should just let people know that you do it, because if anyone wants to like do a consultation with you or anything, do you want to talk about that a little bit actually?
Yeah, sure.
And then we can talk about stuff.
So when I was putting stuff online, I was like, this is crazy. I can't help 20 to 30 women on a bespoke plan every single day. So I spoke to my friend who I also trained with. We're both fully trained Norland nannies. And I said, look, I want to open this consultancy. Like, what do you think? We have a very similar nannying style, because despite there being lots of Norland nannies, there are lots of different styles within, because everyone is different. And Sophie and I have a very similar style, which is great. and we now help women. We have a wonderful track record of success, actually. Like, all of our clients have come back and been like, you've really, really helped us. But we kind of, we do a hour Zoom call, and then we write up a plan, and it's always to be achievable. Like, it's not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to happen in about 2 or 3 weeks, because you've actually got to apply yourself to get the best results from it. But with there is like a, you don't need to have your baby crying it out. You don't need to dedicate all of this stuff. You don't need to buy this. You don't need to do it. All you need to do is make some tweaks and just kind of do this, and your life's going to be a lot easier because you haven't thought about this, 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 this.
So like, someone would come to you and be like, oh my God, my baby doesn't sleep, like this, 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 this. And then you'll basically be like, okay, well, we're taking what you've said, and this is how you make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we literally, we send out a little questionnaire. We get to know mom, dad, baby, siblings, birth preferences, feeding preferences, any implications, like any medication you're on, like, did you have any, you know, were you a NICU baby, were you early, were you late, blah 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 blah, all of these things, because they all have such an impact, especially in the early days. Then we jump on a call with the notes, then we get them to run through like a typical 24-hour day, and it's a no judgment zone. Like, don't, we literally don't give a shit if you formula feed or you breastfeed or you'd sleep or you co-sleep, whatever. Like, we're gonna help you, whatever the situation is, whatever your goal is. And it's been really insightful. We're actually working at the moment with a triplet family, which is wild, like three little miracle babies. And it's, you know, it's been a really big one, but it's quite good to have something like that on our books.
I guess as well, having the challenge of like trying to make three babies sleep, train, etc. at the same time versus like one.
Yeah.
God help, like, that poor mum. That must be chaos.
We've called our business hats off motherhood, because you take your hats off to mothers, right? Hats off to that woman with three babies, like hats off to her. But we also have a physical hat when we were training as nannies, like we took our nanny hats off to become mothers. So we thought it was quite a nice little like play on it. But we these mums all the time, like, hats off to you, you've done so well. And we're like, oh, that's so cheesy, because that's the name of our business.
But it's a good name, because it makes sense.
Yeah, I hope so. But it's nice to be able to help women in a way that's quite informal, actually, because there's so much pressure on having to jump through all these wretched hoops that it just gives them a bit, you know, something to lean on that isn't you have to do X, Y, Z.
And also, I think there's so much, like with everything, there's so much information online that's so contradictory. So they could open Google and be like, okay, how do I sleep train my child? And then it'll be like five different websites that give completely contrasting information, where one could be like, do this method. The other one could say, that method's a pile of shit, do this method. Oh, but you shouldn't do this, but you should do this. And they all end up confusing you more than anything in all different things. Like even fitness is a really bad one for it, but it just will end up confusing you more. And then this poor mum sat there with this tiny baby like, fuck, now I'm terrified because I've looked into all this stuff and it made me feel 20 times worse. And then I guess if they come to you or someone who knows what they're doing, then they can just be like, oh, okay, now I know what to do. This is tailored to me. Like, this is my plan. This is what I need to do. Like, this is going to help my situation, not just the generic Google search.
Definitely. And I think being in the UK, when I Google search things or I come across other Instagram accounts, they can be from the US, and we have completely different ways of doing things. We have different laws, different legislations, different expectations, different formula brands, different measurements. I followed this one account and I was like, you're promoting something that in the UK is outright not best practice. Like, you cannot do that here in the UK. But she's got a huge following and she's like all these people that are following this advice. Whereas if you were just like, if you were having a baby and you decided that you wanted to formula feed and you went and followed her in the UK, due to our food laws and everything, that would be against what we should be doing. And I'm like, you guys have got a like minefield in front of you. No wonder there's so much confusion out there, and where people get overwhelmed and they're like, I can't do it, I'm never leaving the house again, and I'm just gonna feed my baby milk for the rest of its life because I just don't understand anything else. You'll just have
you must
milk
never
forever.
Eat anything else.
No mashed potato.
I would never know that. Like, I would never ever know, looking online, that like American is different to British. in that respect. Like, I obviously, if I had a kid, I wouldn't sit and be like, oh, okay, well, that's different because of that. Like, we know it's different for like food stuff for us, but like, I would mm-hmm. never know that actually formula feeding in the US is completely different, or like amounts and stuff.
Yeah, it's, wouldn't it's even crazy. Cross my mind. And it's things like general safety, like here in the UK. And I actually saw another Norlin nanny doing this last night, and it makes my blood boil. We are not meant to be buying secondhand car seats. You're not meant to be selling yes. secondhand car seats.
You all know this one.
Children's, yes. All children's car seats should be brand new, because you cannot guarantee if they've been in a crash at any stage. Even if you take them on a flight, you don't know if they dropped out the side of the aeroplane before. Yeah. You don't know. And I see women all the time selling their secondhand car seats on. You can donate them to fire stations. They use them for practicing, getting children in and out of cars in accidents. Donate them. Don't sell and buy secondhand car seats. And same with like mattresses. They all have to be brand new too, even per child. Like,
do you want to just explain why, just for anyone listening that maybe doesn't know?
So they're a SIDS risk, which is sudden infant death syndrome. We don't know what causes SIDS, but there are lots of different things that can be put into place. Like we sleep feet to foot. So you put your baby's feet at the bottom of the cot. You have new mattresses. Make sure they're breathable and waterproof, because bugs can get inside them. They can't breathe. They get too hot. Babies can't regulate their body temperatures, blah, 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 blah. We will buy a brand new mattress for baby number two. Mm-hmm. Even if Harry moves into a different bed, like that mattress will only be used for one baby. And yes, I know that you can buy them secondhand. I'm well aware of that, but we shouldn't. And I think if those are the two things, but
try not to.
Yeah, like if I'm going to buy things secondhand, it's going to be a high chair, it's going to be a push chair, it's going to be clothes, probably not nappies because that's horrendous. But you can buy cloth nappies, but they're just not for me. But don't buy those two things. If those are the only two things that you buy brand new, like, you've done well. Make your budget go that far.
Because car seats, am I right in thinking if a car seat's even been in like a slight bump, like even if someone's just lightly tapped your car, you have to replace it, right? Because it's then technically not deemed as safe. One of my best friends works for a baby brand, and she doesn't have a child, but the amount of things she tells me about baby products,
it's crazy. And the other tip, I think this is a quite a good tip, because it's not one that I see being put around very much. If you're like super duper pregnant and you're about to drop that baby, you want to be like ready, hospital bag done, ready, car seat done, push chair done, like you want to be prepped. And I tell you, that nesting instinct was wild. I was ironing everything. Even pants, I was ironing. It was bizarre. I hate ironing. I was like to my husband, like, look, I ironed your pants. He's like, are you insane? I was like, no, just very pregnant.
He's gonna be like, thanks.
Thank you. They look lovely. A good tip, if you want to be super prepared, but you don't want to risk anything, these days, a lot of car seats come with a base. So the Isofix base. Put your base in your car. Not your car seat. They only take your car seat when you're ready to drop. That way, if you do end up in a car accident before you've had the baby, or say your husband takes the car or something, or your wife, whatever, you're only then having to replace the base, not the entire car seat, before that baby has even been put in it. I think it's like one that people just don't talk about very often. I'm like, don't drive around. Don't drive around with a car seat in the car and risk having to waste all that money. Like, wait until the baby's here and then shove it in, quick, go, practice with it.
Really, but the Isofix doesn't. So if you crash with just the base, like, that's fine for the most part. Like, if it was a bump,
you do have to still replace it. Yeah, but you're not having to replace both bits.
True.
So it's like half the cost or half the risk. But, I mean, do what you want to do at the end of the day. These are just best practice. And I have to say that, otherwise I get in trouble.
No, but I think they're good things to think about, because if there was someone listening to this who is like, about to have a baby or has a brand new baby. It's like just little things that you maybe don't think about, which is kind of the whole point of this podcast. It's like giving you little tidbits of information. So like, even if they go away with nothing else, they go away with the knowledge of like, oh, okay, so when I have a baby, like, let's not get a mattress, or like, oh, it's okay that I feel a bit off with my style because everyone feels like that. So it's like the little tidbits of information and the little natters about everything and anything on here, to be honest.
no joke. And don't feel that just because the whole internet shows themselves having like snapped back at 4 months with like defined abs and everything, there are so many of us that have not experienced that. I got downbeat about it and I was like, I haven't bounced back. I don't know what this is. Like, I haven't done that. More women don't than do. So you're not alone. It's just people are probably not going to post it because they feel like they should have because of society and the culture behind bounce back culture. It's just very unhealthy. Do not compare yourself. Live your own journey. It's just crazy how different they all are.
And I think as well, like with stretch marks, for example, you only ever really see the women who have no stretch marks, like a beautifully smooth bump, because like you say with the like bodies bouncing back, the ones who are most likely to be showing it are the ones who have bounced back or have no stretch marks. The other ones tend not to show it as much. Or you get, I guess you do get the odd person who will be like, this is my body, this is my stretch marks, this is what I look like. But it's not as common, for sure.
No, you're so right. When I found the women that were sharing the raw side of pregnancy, I followed them immediately because it really helped my mindset seeing other people. And I haven't posted that stuff. I have some stretch marks. I have a nice little C-section overhang and all this stuff that I probably wouldn't share because I didn't really share that kind of thing online beforehand. Like, my body's my body and it doesn't need to be on the internet. And I think that's something to remember, that you don't have to see it on the internet to know that you're like not alone with it. Like, most of us have changed. Most of us have stretch marks and things got a whole heap bigger and darker and lots of women got hair on their tummies and on their chest. And like, I didn't get hair, but that is also something that does happen because your hormones are so different. My friend was like, I have to shave my belly button. I was like, do you? And she's like, yes, I've never had to do this before. So that's another one that like, no one talks about and I didn't know. So it's all
I would never have thought that. I know that people get hairy bellies, like when their belly, you know, and it gets like the dark line down it, and sometimes people get like the darker hairs. But I guess, like you said, it's just hormones, isn't it? I've got so many fun things to look forward to.
Oh, Jess, I tell you though, one product I would absolutely recommend to anyone, because I thought my birth was going to be dreamy. He was just going to slip straight out. Like, everything was going to be lovely and we were going to just be so magical. Shit the bed. It was not. It was not like that. But the one thing that I bought that saved me were the Frida Mum boy pants. They're disposable pants. They can breathe. They hold you in. They don't itch. They don't sweat. This is not an advert. I've paid for every single pair of those pants that I've thrown away. But my God, I put them on and I was like, oh, I feel like a new woman. So nice.
I need to find them and link them in the show notes just in case there's anyone that's like, I need them, or like a friend needs them like right now.
They're just wonderful. Like, everything else I put on, I was like, I literally feel like I'm wearing a nappy, and they're itchy and they're hot and they're just horrid. And then I found these and I was like, oh my God. And they didn't irritate my incision, and you could wear them if you didn't have a C-section. They are just the absolute best pants in the world.
Like, I feel like that first 2 weeks is like the least glamorous thing ever, like wearing nappies every day, like
oh my God. And your boobs are leaking and you're sweating and you're crying and then you're leaking and I'm just, oh my God, this is so not sexy. Like, what is happening?
And you're in pain, and then everything's going back.
Oh. Sam, and your husband's like, ooh, your boobs look lovely. And you're like, oh, get away from my boobs.
They just think about how, like, they're like, oh, I've always wanted you to have a bit more, and now you do. Lovely.
Oh, I had enough to go around. Like,
share with a friend.
Yeah. Do you want some? No probs. But, oh, yeah, it was just very.
Oh, my goodness.
Very different stage of life. That two to four weeks postpartum was quite something.
Did you like, when you were pregnant and stuff, did you actively like seek out other mum friends to know that you were like not alone in things and that there was other people on the same kind of wavelength?
Yeah, I think that's actually such an interesting question, because I didn't do any prenatal classes and I still feel like it a little bit. Like I still don't really have very many mum friends, because the moment they find out what I do, I feel like they're expecting me to help them. Yeah. They ask for the help and the guidance. And I do think that alienated me a little bit. I have one friend, Soph, who I'm running the consultancy with. Her little boy is 8 weeks older than Harry. So we had that in each other and we still have it in each other. And that has been an absolute lifesaver to me. So I think from that, taking from that, yes, do try and have mum friends, because it can be so isolating and so lonely. And if you're not very confident with what you're doing and you don't really understand, you're going to feel so shut off from the world. Do try and find little groups and classes, even if you just take them to like baby massage classes and where you all sit and have a coffee afterwards. Oh my god, that is going to do you the world of good. Go do that with your walk to your baby massage class, do your little massage, have your coffee and walk yourself back home. You've socialized, you've done something, you've seen someone, you might have even put deodorant on, who knows. But it's so much like more fun doing it alongside people.
Yeah, I guess with pregnancy as well, like doing their like prenatal bits probably helps quite a lot. Because obviously you had Soph going through it at the same time, but I think if you don't have friends who are like going through it at the same time, or maybe they've already got kids but they're older or whatever, or you're first, that must be so hard to be like, my body is changing. I don't know if this feeling is normal because I don't know anyone else who's having a baby right now.
Yeah, I think the only reason I didn't do NCT is because
you knew what you were doing.
I know what I'm doing. And I also think, again, if you are pregnant and you're listening to this, or you've just had a baby, you might have experienced this. The ways in which they teach on NCT is very natural. They don't talk about formula. They don't talk about C-sections. They don't talk about any of that. It's all about natural birth, hypnobreathing, breastfeeding and stuff. And I knew that I needed to not be in that space, having had breast augmentation and the problems that I experienced throughout my pregnancy due to that. There was no way I was going to be able to breastfeed out of one side, and sure enough that happened. And I just thought, for like £500 to sign up to be taught what I already knew, was it worth buying my friends? That's literally what I was doing. I was paying £500 for friends, and I knew I wanted to move out of London, so I was like, I'm not going to even have contact with these people when I leave London. But I think the next time I have a baby, I actually might join to meet other women at the same stage as me, because I do find it quite isolating. Mm. So I think it's just something to think about. Like if you want a formula feed and everything else, that you might not get the most from the actual classes, but having that support network, they will be your village throughout your pregnancy, because your husband won't understand. Your husband doesn't know why you feel that way and why your body's changing and why you keep crying and what colostrum is or anything of these things, but your friends will, that you've met on your courses. So you've got to weigh it up.
There's probably local things as well. Like there's probably, like you do local groups, don't you, for your mums and stuff. So there's probably so many local groups where people have just, obviously not everyone can afford things like NCT. I didn't even realize you had to pay for it. I thought it was just like a right for having a pregnancy. But I think there's probably so many people who are like, that's ridiculous, we're not paying for it, so we're just going to set up like a little club where, you know, 8 or 9 mums go and sit and have coffee. Because my God, sometimes if I work in a coffee shop, this like horde of buggies will just appear out of nowhere and suddenly they're like taking over the whole flipping cafe.
Yeah, and that can be really frustrating for you, especially if you're there trying to work and you get inundated.
I sat in Gales the other day and I was like working away in the corner, and all of a sudden I looked up and it was empty, and then there was just so many buggies, and I was like, how the fuck, like it's so full of buggies. I was like, where have they come from? Like I didn't mind it so much because I'm like, you do you, you've got to get out of the house. But I was like, wow, you have just like, it was like a herd of them just appeared out of nowhere and like took over this coffee shop. But great, because they've all got someone to socialize with.
Yeah, I actually, when I run my meetups, I book out a room, because I'm like, we can be one adult, one baby, and take up the space of three because we have the pushchair as well.
Yeah.
So I think when I run my meetups, that's something I try and do. But yeah, I think trying to find groups. Peanut app is really good.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's like Tinder for mums. Like, you literally swipe left and swipe right.
It's quite brutal, isn't it? Like, you look like a friend I'd want, you don't. But there's also like Bumble BFF for that too, if you're like, obviously not for pregnancy, but like for making friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pregnant version of that. Slash mum.
Yeah, I actually, I use both when I moved down here. I use Bumble. And I've never been brave enough to actually go and meet anyone. I chatted for a bit. And then I used Peanut. And then like three of them were like, oh, I already follow you on Instagram. And I was like, All right, this is, I'm just going to run a meetup through my Instagram. Like, this is pointless. So.
You know what? I actually hate that though. Like, I hate when you, so like I did Bumble BFF for a bit because me and my friend had talked about it on a podcast. And I found that there was like a few people who did the same where they'd be like, oh, I already follow you. And I was like, because now you have like a preconceived idea of what I'm like. Obviously for you different because they could get tips and stuff, but you're like, well, you already think you know me and that's not necessarily me. Like, you see 2% of me and actually there's so much more that I wish we were both on the same playing field rather than being like, oh, well, I don't know anything about you, but you kind of know about me. So this is just really awkward. Like, it's like a blind date, but one of you knows more than the other. It's really weird.
I completely agree with you. Like, I would go to classes and not say anything. And then when they were like, oh, when are you going back to work? I was like, oh, I'm self-employed. And they're like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I work in like marketing. Cause I think that's as like as blasé as you can be when you do this job. And then I get added to a mum's group. And then the mum's group, people are like, oh, are you Alexandra Tea Leaf? I was like, damn it. Damn it.
Bastard. Ah. So what I'll do is, obviously, Alex, as she's mentioned, does her like meetups and the consultancies and runs an amazing Instagram, which is full of knowledge. If you are someone with children or maybe you're pregnant or you know someone with kids that you could pass the information on to. So I'll leave everything in the show notes. But do you want to just remind everyone of all your different handles and where to find you before they click links and stuff or if they're driving or whatever?
Lovely. Thank you. Yeah, it's just Alexandra Tea Leaf on every single platform. Because that keeps it nice and easy. it's just Alexandra Tea Leaf. And then we have our like meetups are part of my broadcast channel. And we do have a Hats Off Motherhood Instagram, but it's not really vibrant yet. So I would just kind of follow me for the updates on the meetups at the moment. But I look forward to seeing any of you there. Yeah. Any knowledge, any one-to-ones, drop me an email and DM me and I'll send you the email address. It's way easier.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way, isn't it? If everyone just contacts you if they want any more information and stuff. But the broadcast channels are basically like a little thing on Instagram if you haven't seen them. So like if you go on Alex's profile, it's like a little box that comes up under the bio, right? And then you click on that and then it will have all the information. But if I am right thinking, anyone can join them or see them, can't they? I don't have one, so I don't know.
I think so. I don't know if you have to follow or not. I don't know.
I don't have a clue. Well, maybe just follow and find out.
But the information's there if you want it. Fuck it.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, I don't really care. I'll be there whether you are or not. Like, I'll be there. Meeting up by myself.
Just sitting there in the corner like, hello.
Oh, I have no friends still.
Yes, you do. Right. On that note, I'm going to round off the episode. But thank you so much for coming on. It's been so nice to chat to you about all things motherhood. I feel like we have chats about so many other things, but this is the first time we've really like talked about your mum life, I feel. Normally it's like a bit of everything else and loads of shit.
Yeah, I do quite like that as well. But thank you very much for having me. And I'll talk to you again soon, no doubt.
And we'll see you on another episode, guys. Goodbye.
Ooh, bye.